Welcome to episode 248 of the official GunnaGeek.com show. This week, SP talks about a space cruise, Chris clones himself for Clone Wars, and I talk about Google's phishing strategy. Plus, Michelle's here to run down a bunch of SDCC news. This and more on this week's show.
I'm Kier.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Jay from Gallifrey Public Radio,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to right now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
This is the official GunnaGeek.com show. Here we're a bunch of geeks talking about geeky things. Each week, we run down the latest news and happenings in the world of geek. These are your hosts for the show, Steven.
But what if I'm in the mood for a T-Swift story?
Chris.
I've heard the X is going to give it to you.
And SP.
That's how we roll on Gunna Geek on Monday night. We get crazy!
Gunna Geek Productions presents the official GunnaGeek.com show.
Welcome to an all-new episode of the official GunnaGeek.com show. I am Stephen John. With me, of course, is Chris Farrell.
And Skype made me its biatch tonight.
We also have with us the other biatch of Skype, Stargate Pioneer.
And believe it or not, I am here. I know I was gone for 2 weeks, but I am back and better than ever. I'm looking forward to a great show brought to you by my co-hosts.
And also making the show even better, she does it every time she comes on. That's right, Michelle Ely is here.
Hey, guys. I'm happy to be here.
Michelle, we are happy to have you. It is always a better show when you're around, especially the shows where you're filling in for Stargate Pioneer.
I'm not going to disagree.
But no, seriously, Michelle's here, and we're going to talk a whole roundup of news that Michelle Ely has gone ahead and done for us. She put a lot of work into it, and I thank you in advance. Now, if you're not familiar with the GunnaGeek.com show, well, sit tight. You'll hear what we're about in a little bit. But we are part of the Gunna Geek Network, and there's a bunch of amazing geeky podcasts if you've not checked it out at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. We encourage you to check them all out there, every single one of them. You should download every single episode of every single podcast on the network. Everybody knows that Stargate Pioneer has done that.
Of course I have. I mean, who hasn't? It's how I spend my Friday nights after I wash my hair.
Well, let's go ahead and talk some news. Here we go. You know, every now and then you think to yourself, if I was Stargate Pioneer, what sort of cruise would I go on? And then you realize that he'll tell you why he is going to go cruising. How are you going cruising, SP?
Well, aside from the sailboat that I'm going to buy and cruise around the world, maybe podcast around the world, or maybe not, maybe I'll just cut the cord and never be heard from again. But if I was going to take a cruise, and I haven't been on a cruise ship since 2004, I would go on the Viking Orion. And why is that? Because the cruise ship has a 6K, or excuse me, has a 7K planetarium. Mm-hmm. Yep. We're going to talk about that here in an article published by space.com on July 17th, Samantha Mathewson, titled "This High-Tech Planetarium is on a New Cruise Ship." So Viking Orion, which is the newest Viking ocean cruise ship, made its debut in Italy on June 14th, revealing a unique high-tech feature, a planetarium at sea. Now, you would think this would be a unique and new thing. Well, not so much, because the Viking Orion is only the second cruise ship in the world to have a planetarium. The other is Queen Mary II, which is a Cunard Cruise Line ocean liner. Now, the Viking Orion is named after the constellation Orion, which is, of course, the Hunter. So those of us that are on an aero podcast, we really know what the Orion constellation is, right? And NASA's Orion spacecraft, which is the first crewed capsule designed to carry astronauts beyond low Earth orbit. The ship's name also honors retired NASA astronaut Anna Fisher, who is the godmother of Viking Orion and worked on the Orion spacecraft before retiring in May 2017. Let's get back to the planetarium. It's called the Explorer's Dome, and it features shows about space and exploration, including two 3D films, Journey to Space and Under the Arctic Sky. The Explorer's Dome on board Viking Orion is currently the highest definition 7K planetarium in the world. And it is a versatile space that can operate as a high-tech planetarium, as well as show films and other programming in 2D or 3D. In addition to the Explorer's Dome, the ship will have a Viking resident astronomer by the name of Howard Parkin, who is from the Royal Astronomical Society Fellow and founding member of the Isle of Man Astronomical Society. He will lead lectures on the wonders of the cosmos and offer guided tours of the night sky during stargazing sessions using Viking's portable telescope. Parkin will continue to offer lectures through the ship's 2018 maiden season. Now, the Explorer's Dome, by the way, if you happen to be on the ship, is on deck 8, which is important to know exactly where it is. And I took a look at the cruise plan. This ship is literally going around the world. It's starting in the Med for the summer 2018 season, and it's going to go, I believe, through the Suez Canal. It seems to be from the ports of call how it's going to go, and it's going to go around the world. You can actually book your passage for the entire time, or for a 62-day stay at a cost of minimum cost of about $65,000. That's pretty good. $1,000 a day on a cruise ship? Yeah.
That's a great price.
I just am crying thinking about it.
Do I get a toilet made out of gold for that price or something like that? I mean,
I was just going to say, actually, the amenities on board a Viking cruise ship are far superior to its sister cruise lines, even the Norwegian cruise lines, because it's catering to a more wealthy and more adult crowd, aka senior crowd. So these are people with money to burn, don't want kids around. The cruise ships only have 930, I believe, passenger capability versus like the Carnival cruise lines at like 2,500 to 4,000. So yeah, you got a little bit more amenities, more space, a little bit more gold in your head for you, Chris.
I would hope that there would be more space if we were talking about this.
I better get free Wi-Fi.
I took a look at the amenities in the ship and I didn't see if it had free Wi-Fi or not. I'm going to have to take a look at that.
I have a friend who went and took a cruise and he bought the internet package. Oh, it was ridiculous. It was like $35 a day and he was capped out on what he could use. So like, he uploaded two videos on Instagram. He's like, well, I'm out for the day. And that cost me $35.
Crazy. Yeah, it's really expensive on there. I do like cruising, but that's the one part that I don't like. I don't like being not connected.
Steven likes cruising the neighborhood in his truck.
Exactly.
Absolutely. See, that's the point of being on a cruise ship, though. You're disconnecting. You're going off. You're cutting the cord. You're having fun. You're disconnecting.
It didn't happen if I don't put it on Instagram.
Oh, come on. Those Carnival cruises have like a big old movie theater, and then they have like an amusement park, and there's pools, and it's just like a city on a boat. Like, just go to the Mall of America or something. That's like what it is. It's that on a boat. Let's
talk about the Viking Orion ship. It does not have the nightly entertainment package that you might see on a Carnival or Royal Caribbean.
Better.
Yeah. I mean, it's really for people that kind of sleep a lot.
I better get some foot massages.
There is on Viking Orion, there's this whole heat spa in the middle of it with a pool and a big jacuzzi, and you can lay on these beds basically of heated tiles. And yeah, you can get your feet massaged while you're doing it.
Well, while we are thinking about other ways that we could spend that amount of money, let's talk a little bit about Clone Wars, because apparently Clone Wars is back. That's what I heard. And it's a new version of Guess Who's Back again. Clone Wars is back.
Shady's back. It's not Clone Wars. It's Shady.
Tell a friend.
Well, fans of the Clone Wars were very upset when it just got canceled. We were hoping for a lot more adventures, especially with the Mandalorian storyline and everything. Well,
During Comic-Con, Lucasfilm took everybody by surprise, and they are going to bring back the animated series Star Wars, The Clone Wars. There is actually a trailer. It's an entire new adventure. You've got Anakin, Obi-Wan is there, Rex, his favorite clone trooper. And of course, you have Ahsoka Tano. I am very excited. The only downside is that this is going to be on Disney's official streaming service. So basically, I'm going to have to wait till everything comes out and then spend my $8 for 1 month and binge it. And then take the, another $8 for the next month for DC Universe and just have this $8 rotating thing all year long.
Oh, you know, I got to say that I'm not surprised about this. You knew it was coming. You knew Disney was going to start doing the exclusive stuff. And it makes sense for them to do this with Star Wars. I'm probably going to not get it myself because never actually watched Clone Wars, but I probably wouldn't get Disney anyways. Who knows? I'm a CBS All Access kind of guy.
So we knew they were going to do a Star Wars series as part of the streaming side of the house because they'd announced Jon Favreau was doing a live action Star Wars series and it would be streaming. So that wasn't a shock to anyone. But like Michelle mentioned, this came out of nowhere at San Diego Comic-Con. All of a sudden, they had some folks there, Dave Filoni and some other folks from the Clone Wars / Rebels cartoons, and started talking about Clone Wars, and they dropped this trailer and everyone just kind of lost it because we never expected to get this. It's the lost season, all because Disney acquired Star Wars right before it was about to start. So they canceled it. They had started animation on a few of those episodes and put them out as what, like the Lost Missions or something like that on Netflix. So if you were a Clone Wars fan, you're probably pretty excited. And there's characters from Clone Wars that you get to see how their arc wraps in this, and you already know what happens to them in Rebels. So it'll be an interesting dynamic. I can't believe I'm saying this. With two Star Wars series, I might pick this up for more than a month.
Oh,
this Disney streaming service.
Whoa!
You know they're going to put some Marvel stuff in there, too, of some kind.
Absolutely.
Eventually. I'm still not going to get it. I'm going to be the curmudgeon that says, I'm not going to pay for it. I've got too much other stuff to watch, which I've discovered a new streaming service, Con TV. Oh my gosh.
What is Con TV? Is it like Con Air?
Is it Cops all day long?
It's a bunch of old like 70s and 80s stuff that almost nobody cares about, but there's a couple of gems in there like He-Man and the Greatest American Hero. So
That is not as fun as all Nicolas Cage all the time, like I was thinking it was with Con Air. Definitely not.
Well, why don't you create that channel and see if it'll float?
Sounds good.
Oh, I would be so in for that.
There you go. On the Nick Cage channel, that's coming to a home near you. Michelle will bring it there. I guarantee. Ding.
Can we call it Nick TV?
All right, moving on here. Let's talk a little bit about how Google fixed phishing. And I'm spelling that P-H-I-X-E-D, like phishing. There you go. Took the video joke, put it in the audio form, and it's even less funny. That's right. Google just recently came out and said that they have not had a successful bout of someone phishing any one of their employees, that's right, one of their 85,000 employees, since they started working with physical security keys. This was something that they started back in 2017, and what security keys are basically inexpensive physical devices. They look like a USB drive that you actually put into your computer to log in. A lot of people have seen these sort of devices as part of what's called two-factor authentication. Usually two-factor authentication is you enter password, then you end up verifying that whether it's through a code from your app or whether it is a physical key. Well, an actual physical security key does the whole process itself. And Google ended up saying, we have had no reported or confirmed account takeover since implementing security keys at Google's. Users might be asked to authenticate using their security keys for many different apps and reasons. It all depends on the sensitivity of the app and the risk of the user at that point in time. I thought this was really interesting because UTF, as is one of the emerging standards of this authentication, it's on a bunch of different services. Dropbox has it. Facebook has it. GitHub has it. There's also LastPass as well. It is supported by Chrome, Firefox, Opera, and apparently coming soon to that Microsoft browser. What do they call it? Cliff? Isn't that what it's called? Microsoft Cliff? Yeah.
Edge.
Oh, Edge. Sorry. I was just thinking of what it felt like you were driving off.
Cliffy B.
It's what's at the like end the of the flat earth.
But yeah, this was interesting because it's Google, right? So obviously Google is going to be vulnerable to attacks, or they're going to be targeted for attacks. And for them to say that they've had none of their 85,000 employees successfully phished might show that the way of the future is a physical key, or obviously just retina scan combination of fingerprints, which Google will then go and market all of that data.
Yeah, but then you're going to get all those awful tropes of taking like somebody's eyeball or doing that weird Mission Impossible scan and doing like the fake fingerprints and all that type of stuff. And no, I understand. I like the little physical UTF key, but the whole retinal and fingerprint thing, that makes me go to sci-fi horror realm.
What about a rectal scan? Could we go that way?
This sounds like a bad episode of South Park, man.
So, Michelle, let me ask you this. Are you ever thinking about getting an iPhone X or 10?
No, not really. I don't want to upgrade unless I absolutely have to. And even then, I don't know if I want to stick with an iPhone. It depends on how much it is. It's just getting ridiculous.
You should definitely come to the light side. We have cookies. Come over this way. We are better.
Which are they're still expensive.
We have a theme song though, and you don't.
That's true.
Don't portray that they are cheap.
You have to be on Verizon to get a Pixel.
Incorrect. It's unlocked. You can run on any network.
See, I don't know because I'm in Canada and it's available on all the major carriers because we do things better up here.
Yeah. I'm on AT&T with mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just pop an AT&T SIM and you're good to go.
Oh, I did not know that.
Well, there you go. You can become a Pixel Buddy. Come on, hashtag Pixel Buddies.
Hashtag Pixel Buddies for life.
But back to the point at hand, I think that this is really good to see that they've had a successful run here with physical keys. And it just goes to show that there is obviously more that we can do as a society to avoid things like phishing. Of course, when you avoid things like phishing, then how are you going to teach someone to fish? That's what I don't get.
Isn't this just two-factor authentication with a USB thumb drive, basically?
Not two-factor. It's one factor with a USB.
So they put just this in to access computer. Yes. There's no password.
It's a new thing.
That seems also dangerous if I lose my thumb drive or my authentication device.
We'll see. Google's doing it. And let's go on to our last news point before we get to our SDCC news roundup. Apparently, Fortnite's making money. This is very shocking to me.
Yes. So are you guys familiar with the free-to-play game created by Epic Games called Fortnite?
No. Is that like an old-timey game?
Well, it is one of the latest in the Battle Royale games that you have out there where you have an island of 100 people and you fight until the last man is standing or the last team is standing. It is free-to-play. However, there are microtransactions, not for new weapons and things like that, but for skins and character appearances and things like that. Evidently, they're making a good deal of money. The market research firm by the name of Super Data Research has a quantitative measure they can provide on just how successful it is. Their report shows that Fortnite has made more than $1 billion off of in-game purchases alone. This report also claimed Fortnite is only growing in popularity overall, with an upward trend growing since October 2017 and a huge spike that started in February. Now, May slowed down a little bit, but in that month, they still brought in $318 million in revenue. This is people buying new gun skins, buying character skins. It's not changing how the game is played, just changing your appearance in there. It's crazy that they're making that kind of money. And here's the thing. They've got even more chances coming up. Why is that? Because they're adding in vehicles to the game now, so they're going to be able to sell vehicle skins. Players are going to be able to give other folks gifts in-game. So I could be like, oh, Steven loves this skin. He'd love to dress up as John Wick. I could gift you a John Wick skin for your Fortnite character, theoretically. Plus, they have also worked a deal with Funko. There'll be Fortnite Pops coming to the market soon as well. So there is a crap load of Fortnite stuff making a bunch of money because everyone is playing it. And how do I know everyone is playing it? Because what's the last metric they have? Viewers have watched nearly 700 million hours of streaming video, 83% of which were from Fortnite in May. That's right. 83% of what was streamed on Twitch and Mixer and things like that was Fortnite. Far outpaced the number two genre, which is MOBAs, that racked up 275 million hours of viewing time. So guys, Battle Royale games are the craze right now. PUBG, Fortnite. I'm sure there's other stuff that's out there. This seems to be the way to do it. Put microtransactions in there that don't change the gameplay, and people are going to buy it and they're going to want to play. I can't believe $1 billion in in-game purchases on a free-to-play game.
That's insane. And oh, does it show that the formula can work? That's amazing.
This is what EA needs to learn from, because remember, we had the whole controversy on the Battlefront 2 microtransaction issue where it was pretty much, it was a pay-to-win formula. You could put like $100 in the game and unlock a bunch of characters. And then they realized, ooh, people didn't like this. They took a black eye in the public because everyone's like, this is a bad idea. I've got to play for 180 hours before I can unlock this first character. Meanwhile, you're starting to see games like Fortnite. They're like, no, you guys get the full game. If you want changes to it, if you want to make things look prettier, throw us some cash. We're cool with that. It's an interesting shift in how gaming is working right now. And I kind of like it. And I might find myself, I don't play Fortnite a ton, but I've been tempted on occasion to be like, that might be kind of cool. For 99 cents, I can change the way this gun appears. That might be worth it.
Well, okay, this is not the first time we've heard of somebody making this type of money by offering a free product. Fun fact, don't know if you know this, but Michelle Ealy makes about $1 billion an episode off of the Starling Tribune. So I'm not sure if you knew that, but that's 100% factual information.
But it's $1 billion in Leon U currency.
Michelle, what
and
does
the market
translate?
Blew up on that one.
Exactly.
I see what you did there.
Kim Kardashian made like $80 million from her free game. People downloaded it and they bought all these little things. It's so weird. The Simpsons game that was free, it made money because people wanted to buy donuts and build their version of Springfield. It's really interesting how some microtransactions are working and what's not.
Yeah. How much, like, what's the sort of revenue stream on Pokemon Go? Do we know about
that? That's what I was going to say is Pokemon Go. I know they're making a fair amount of money, especially as they keep doing these events. Like last Saturday was the Zapdos catch day and things like that, where people were going and hitting a bunch of raids and you got like 5 raid passes free. And then it was, okay, I'm going to throw some cash down because I want to keep doing this. So there is a pretty healthy community surrounding the microtransactions in Pokemon Go.
Well, apparently we have done things wrong and we should make a Gunna Geek game or something like that. You can put hair on Chris for $1 billion.
No. It's pay $5 in the middle of the stream and Chris will stop talking so you don't have to listen to him anymore.
You know what? The better option.
Let me get my wallet.
See? It's a good idea.
I'll get behind that. Well, thanks for sharing that. And yeah, if you ever want to make that Gunna Geek game, go ahead and just make sure I get all of the profits.
It's called Pin the Microphone on the Podcaster, the Gunna Geek game.
Well, let's go ahead and talk some SDCC news. Here we go. As I mentioned, our guest of honor today, Michelle Ealy, has done a lot of work for us. Love it when Michelle comes on here. Love it also when she's willing to spend the type of time she did today to put a whole wrap-up together of SDCC news. Now, for those of you not familiar, SDCC is a disease. Oh, sorry. No, it's not.
It feels well, like it.
Yeah.
What it is it's a convention, a comic convention that happens in San Diego. I know. And is it a comic convention? That's arguable. Absolutely arguable. But by definition, it it is. And there's a lot of media news that comes out of SDCC. SP, you're looking puzzled at my comment.
Yeah, because I heard a couple of years ago, the last comic book vendor actually pulled out of the exhibition area. So I'm not sure that we can actually officially call it a comic book convention.
Well, sorry, we can call it a Comic Con because that's a trademark term that they own. So we can call it a Comic Con, but a comic book convention, that's true. We probably cannot call it that. But there's a lot of entertainment news that comes out of SDCC now. And so this past weekend, there was a whole bunch of cool things happening. And Michelle put together some of the highlights from this past weekend. Michelle, why don't you go ahead and start us off the walk down SDCC lane?
Sure. Again, this is highlights. And first off, spoiler warning, because I'm going to talk about things future and talk about things that have happened that they're going to build on. So people whine about spoilers. So here's your spoiler warning. Okay. A lot of things came out with DC, and I'm actually going to talk first about comic books.
What? No.
Yes. Comic book news had came out of a Comic Con.
I'm shocked. I am shocked. I'm going to go ahead and retire right now.
Blasphemy.
Well, one of the big panels was about the future Justice League. And the way DC is sort of built right now is Bendis has been given Superman and all that stuff. And Scott Snyder has been given Batman and Justice League. So on this panel was, of course, Snyder, Joshua Williamson, James Tynion IV, Bernard Chang, and Adam Glass. And, of course, the first thing that came up was Justice League. Snyder is planning a huge crossover for 2019. It's building up from events from Rebirth and, of course, Dark Knight Metal. That really weird Batman multiverse thing that I thought was kind of weird and silly and I didn't buy it. Apparently, it's going to have a big impact on Batman and other things for the next year.
Heavy sigh.
It's yeah. Snyder and Capullo. You knew they were going to commit to whatever came out of that.
Some of the things that are coming out, the Batman Who Laughs. This is a Snyder and Jock's upcoming miniseries. It's coming up in November. The Batman Who Laughs is one that got infected with Joker toxin. And in the miniseries, he's basically Batman Punisher, like Bat Punisher. He's got all these guns on him and everything. So if you've ever wanted to see a cross of Batman and Punisher, then the Batman Who Laughs is going to be just for you.
I actually, in my head canon, Punisher is Batman. That's my head canon.
Whoa.
Yeah. Well, you know, it just makes sense.
That is a interesting head canon.
Yeah. Have you been drinking tonight?
No, I'm actually, I'm talking about the Punisher that was torn apart too. Frankencastle. That's who I'm talking about.
Frankencastle. Okay, you win. You win. Nice poll.
Well, during the Dark Knight Metal situation event, it ended with the source wall being broken and magic. The owners of magic are coming back, and that is being explored in a title called Justice League Dark. It's supposed to have like Santana and such, which that is intriguing. I love Santana. And Teen Titans is coming back. There was a pause in Teen Titans. So the comic book is coming back. Damian puts his own team together. It's going to be Crush, Vision, Roundhouse, and Kid Flash. And the first story arc, they're going to be going up against Brother Blood. More DC comic book news. One of my favorite imprints was Vertigo, and I was very sad to see it go, but it is actually coming back.
Oh, cool.
Yes. Starting late in 2018, it's going to start August 8th with Sandman Universe number 1, and Neil Gaiman is on board with that.
When did Vertigo go away?
Well, when the Green Arrow shut them down.
That took me a minute. Oh, man. There's your arrow pull.
What a pull. What a pull. Like about what? 2 years ago, it kind of faded away.
Yeah, that's what I'm just surprised that it's coming back so quick. So it's surprising to me.
I'm not surprised.
I think if Neil Gaiman called him and said, you know, I have this idea for the Sandman universe, it's Neil Gaiman and it's Vertigo. Vertigo is the house that Neil Gaiman built. So I can see them going, okay, you got a good idea. Let's bring it back.
Okay, fair. Fair enough. Although Chris's pull was the highlight of that story. Sorry.
Other things that are coming out with Vertigo is House of Whispers, which is a sequel to Sandman. Border Town, but from Eric Esquivel and Ramon Villalobos. It's a series that focuses on a town on the border between Mexico and America. American Carnage by Brian Hill and Leandro Fernedzo, a political crime drama. And Goddess Mode from writer Zoe Quinn and artist Robbie Rodriguez. The story is of a magical grown-up girl group who are fighting back against the power dynamics of a technology-dominated world. So it's just nice to have comic book news come out of a Comic-Con.
Yes, especially SDCC. Like, let's be totally real.
You're not going to get more exposure than at San Diego Comic-Con, but it'll be interesting how this plays out. You know, and we won't know for another year or two, but we'll see how these get received.
Yeah, I guess time will tell. Michelle, I know that was basically the only comic news that came out of SDCC. Well, the only noteworthy. What about movies? What's going on over there?
Well, DC took control there. First, RIP DC Extended Universe. They've actually going to brand their movies and franchises as Worlds of DC.
What?
Yeah, now I heard about this. There was a graphic on the wall that said, "Welcome to the Worlds of DC." However, there was not an actual announcement made. It was just on the wall. So I'm wondering if the new universe, if they are considering a new universe, is actually going to be called Worlds of DC or not.
You know, I think that it's smart for them, even if they haven't announced anything, to use this Worlds of DC thing, because of the fact that I think a lot of mainstream goers who might be recent comic book fans might not totally get the whole multiple universe thing, the multiverse thing, unless you're watching stuff like CW or really know a little bit about comics. So I think it's not a bad thing for them to even just use the slogan, even if it just ends up in the bin eventually, but Worlds of DC, because now you're highlighting the idea that, hey, guess what? We should probably talk about this. So that way, if we do end up spinning off to try to salvage our brand, we've at least given you a bit of a heads up on it.
It's more they needed to officially have a name, because DC never really coined the term DC Extended Universe or DC Expanded Universe, because both got floated out there. That's just something the internet kind of came up with and they ran with it. So here they are kind of trying to go back and own their brand, make it something that pops people think about, because let's be honest, their competition is Marvel. And if someone says MCU or Marvel film, most people know what that is. They go, oh, Marvel Cinematic Universe, because they've been had it beaten into them with 20 straight movies, basically. Let's be honest. So DC needs to find a way. And I think this is a smart move. To make it so that it sticks, so that people start thinking positively towards their movies and give it an official branding, start branding around it, because Marvel markets hard around Marvel Studios and Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And we don't know that Worlds of DC is going to stick. We don't know, but I think that it's good for them to be trying something.
And I like that it's Worlds, because it emphasizes we have TV stuff and we have movie stuff and we have animated stuff. It's not Marvel with hashtag, it's all connected.
They have to do that though, because they've already established that not necessarily everything's going to be connected. Because remember, we have what, two Joker movies coming? A Joaquin Phoenix one, and then we have a Joker with I lost the actor's name all of a sudden. Same one from Suicide Squad.
Jared Leto.
Yeah.
So there's two Joker movies coming. So not everything's going to exist in the same world. And that's okay. I like Elseworld stuff, but I'm also curious to see how they keep linking things together, which we'll probably talk about with a later trailer.
It just depends. First of all, they're going to have to embrace a title, and then they're going to have to go with the title. Like you were saying, you don't know if Worlds of DC is going to stick. Well, so pick something and then run with it. Officially announce it. This is what it's going to be, and then define it. And then also, don't forget, you got that DC streaming service, for lack of a better term. I know it's not just streaming. It's got a lot of comic book, digital comic book stuff and stuff like that in there. But you've got that as well. And if you're going to be like Disney / Marvel and try to consolidate all your stuff there, then perhaps the worlds of DC, DCEU, whatever they want to call it, is going to be relegated to that streaming service. So everything on there is going to be canon. It's a departure of what's currently going on, because you got all the CW stuff, which is not part of the movies. You got some of the movies which haven't hit well. So maybe they're trying to distance themselves from the Snyderverse, or whatever you want to call the Zack Snyder movies. So I don't know. DC's got to actually make a decision and run with it. Having this title on the wall and not officially announcing anything, I mean, I think the internet world just ran with it again, just like the DCEU. So DC needs to take control of their own destiny, and I don't think they have so far.
Well, and that's a good point, because for all you know, this was really the first like kumbaya moment between the TV and the movies. And this was like, hey, you know what we're going to do is we're going to go brand the worlds of DC and really and make everybody aware that, yeah, we're not ignoring TV. So we're going to just call it, we're just going to sit, put this on the wall as a big, hey, look, there's multiple different parts of DC. And then all of a sudden people ran with it and thought that it was the name. So we don't really know, because it could have just been a last ditch. Yeah, let's just play nice and say there's multiple worlds. We don't know until they actually own it. So I guess we will find out, unless of course Michelle Ealy is secretly hiding this knowledge because she knows the inside track of DC.
Unfortunately, I don't.
Wow. Well, I was hoping.
And that's what the inside track of DC would say.
Exactly. Yep. All right. So secret keeper, Michelle, what else do you have?
Well, we got the first trailer of Shazam. The trailer narratively follows the origin of the orphaned Billy Batson as he takes shelter in a foster home and acquires the powers of the wizard Shazam. We get a taste of the character's power, the humor. I actually cannot believe that I like Zachary Levi in this. I didn't think I was going to go for it, but it is light. It is fun. And the film arrives April 5th, 2019, and I'm actually looking forward to this one. I'm surprised by it.
I gotta say, I saw the trailer, and I my first thoughts was low budget, okay? That was kind of where my mind went just from the visual. By the end of the trailer, I was like, this looks fun.
Zachary Levi looks delightful in the role as Shazam, who's basically a kid who gets superpowers in an adult body when he's using them. He plays it off very well. Guys, here's why this looks good. It's big with superpowers. That's all this movie is.
Fair point.
It looks fantastic. And like I mentioned, I teased earlier, this is connected to the previous stuff because there's two elements in the trailer that prove it. There's a batarang on Billy's desk, a prop replica, and then he opens his drawer and there's articles about Superman. So I would love to see the big blue Boy Scout eventually meet Shazam. That would be really cool, especially as I've liked how Henry Cavill evolved the character with Joss Whedon's help in Justice League. So this looks like fun. It looks delightful. Both my fiance and I watched this and we went, I actually want to see this now. Is there something wrong with me?
No. You heard it first here. Chris Farrell is a huge fan of Man of Steel. He said that right here. He said he's a fan of the entire history of the Superman character in the DC universe.
Going to go on eBay to try to get one of those steel boxes of the Man of Steel.
Pretty sure that's what he just said. Well,
yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. How did you know?
So I love Zachary Levi in this Shazam character in the trailer because it's just an extension of Chuck for me, because this is where I would want Chuck to be in the superhero universe. So I'm really excited to see this. So of course, it's completely different origins. I know it's not a continuation, but it's going to be a fun movie. It's just fun. Will I see it in the theater? That will be the question. Yeah. I don't know if I will. I might wait till a home video release.
I do want to talk about the obvious that we haven't really talked about, is the fact that it is such a tonal difference from everything else. Like, that is worth talking about, is like this trailer. You would have no thought or no clue that it was part of the same universe.
You know, I think the success of Wonder Woman, they were like, oh, wow, people like this hopeful hero who's bringing joy and positivity, maybe we should do that.
Yeah, and I will say that I like the more hopeful tone, but I do like a little bit of edginess, but I miss that about sort of the DC ways of old, was there is that edginess, but there is still that hopeful undertone. I actually, if I was to stand back and look at like the universe's comic books themselves, I probably would lean a little bit more DC-wise because they're less campy than a lot of the Marvel stuff, in my opinion. And I like that, but I like it when there's that hopeful undertone. And I hope that this is the first step towards that in the worlds of DC or whatever we're calling it.
Not only do you have the hopeful undertone and the departure that Wonder Woman was able to make with the DCEU, so we can still call it that from the past projects, but you also have over on the Marvel side, and this isn't even Marvel, it's Fox, with the Deadpool series, and that was a departure from what they already had on the plate with the X-Men films over on Fox and then with the MCU. So yeah, what you're saying is they're not, this is DC's chance to go outside of the format to something else, maybe not just hopeful, but something that's a little bit more kid friendly, something that's a little bit more Ant-Man-ish, yeah. And well, see how it goes. But it's the same departure for them that Deadpool was for Fox.
Well, let's be honest. This is just their latest attempt to throw something at a wall and see what sticks. And the positive feedback they're getting is a good sign, but it doesn't mean that they then need to evolve and say everything needs to be just like Shazam going forward. No. They need to start looking at something similar, and I know I beat this drum a lot. Look at what Marvel did, where not every movie is the same tone. Not every movie is the same feeling. We have heist movies. We have adventure movies. We have space operas. I mean, everything has a slightly different feel to it, but then gets connected. So I hope this is, they throw it out there, people like it, and they go, okay, we don't have to try and make everything emulate Christopher Nolan, grim, dark, realistic, or Zack Snyder, over the top, dark, moping, brooding. We can do more. We can have fun in here. And yeah, they started going down that path, and I hope this sticks. I hope it works. And they realize, okay, we can change the formula. And part of me hopes that branding of worlds of DC is them kind of realizing they can do a whole bunch of different things.
Yeah, we'll find out. Time will tell.
Honestly, I think if it's good, it's by accident.
Fair.
Well, a movie I hope is good, not by accident, and that's Aquaman. We got the first trailer. We got a brief origin summary. You're going to see Arthur as a little kid. This film is directed by James Wan. The trailer has undersea fighting. There's like a sea dragon and all this type of stuff. And Mera, seems to have her own agency. She's the one that tells Arthur, hey, you've got to come down and do stuff about this because your half-brother wants to wage war on the surface world. And I like that she doesn't seem like she's just a love interest, and she actually has a part in it. The film comes out December 21st. If you liked the Aquaman part of Justice League, which for me was a highlight of the Justice League movie, then it actually expands on this in a much better way. I can't wait to see this. Not just because of Jason Momoa shirtless, but...
Oh, come on. That's my favorite part. My favorite part.
Really? Because Mera is one of my favorite parts. And Jason Momoa is great, too. I've always liked everything that he's been in. Aquaman is probably the best DC film via trailer that I've seen to date. And that's comparing it with Wonder Woman. And I don't know what will come out on top for me in the end. Wonder Woman was great. Don't get me wrong. This seems to be really world building and expansive. And we'll see what we get. And I might actually go see this in the theater because it looks visually stunning.
Yeah, I gotta say, I was really surprised at how much I enjoyed this trailer. It's something that I was pretty skeptical of Aquaman when he first was announced as coming out to the whole DCEU or whatever we call it. But I was okay with him in Justice League. He was one of my favorite parts in Justice League, but I still didn't see the broad movie appeal. I didn't see the solo movie really working, but this trailer here has me sold. I think that I'm going to really enjoy it. And it might actually be one, too, that out of the DC movies that I actually go see in the theater. I have been very, very lucky to have many people around me tell me about the movies and whether or not I should go, and save me lots of money on the DC side of things. So I think that this is one, though, that I might actually go see in the theaters.
Let's put it simply. Jason Momoa is a delight. He's having fun on screen, it seems like. If you watched any of the press junket he was doing at SDCC, he was having a blast. If you have a chance, go and watch him on Conan O'Brien this weekend. He was having so much fun doing it. The guy's having the time of his life, and I think that carries over on screen. It looks like you've got some fun moments mixed with, of course, you're going to have familial angst and things like that because he's confronting his half-brother. The world looks gorgeous. I was really surprised. Well, I guess I'm not surprised, but people on the internet crapping all over it. I was like, why? This looks like fun. The people are like, oh, this is stupid. They're riding sharks like horses. And I was like, that's not dumb. That's really cool. And I saw a comment, I think it was on Facebook. Here it is. It was, if you watched Guardians 1 preview and thought how cool it was to have a talking raccoon, but then watched the Aquaman trailer and thought mounting a shark like a horse was goofy, you really need to re-examine your level of nerd.
Yes, agreed.
It just looks fun. Who cares? It's a comic book movie. I don't care if it's not realistic that the dude's riding a shark. He's underwater breathing and talking. That's realistic too? Come on. Just have fun with it. It's a comic book movie. It's suspension of disbelief. It's not going to be real. Not everything can be Christopher Nolan, where he adds a feeling of, oh, this could actually happen if a dude had enough money. That's not how it works most of the time.
I get so mad when you talk about things like Superman and Justice League and everything, and then you're like, well, this can't be real. Think about that. Think really hard about that, and you tell me how it's a problem. But yeah.
Well, I'll give it to the extent of Suicide Squad, because there was so much wrong with Suicide Squad.
Academy Award winning Suicide Squad.
I knew I was going to bait one of you into saying it. But there was so much wrong with Suicide Squad that was just a component of it. The unrealistic nature pulling you out, it was a part of it. But it was just so much with that film, so much.
It's because they tried to be Guardians of the Galaxy.
But Michelle, I will be there, right, with you with the shirtless Chris Farrell. I mean, Jason Momoa, sorry.
Okay, let me take my shirt off for you.
You got a salmon ladder behind you?
I got a salmon behind me.
Oh, jeez.
When it comes to the DCCW shows, we are going to discuss that in detail over on the Starlight Tribune. So stay tuned for that. There were other movie trailers, like that Godzilla one looks nuts with the Titans and such. Weird. There's the trailer for Glass, which is interesting. It's taking place in the world with superheroes who don't think that the world is like, there's no superheroes. That was an interesting trailer. And like I said, I'm just going over some highlights. Transitioning over into television, I am a huge fan of the Netflix series Voltron. We got the season seven trailer. Things that you need to know is, first, it's the penultimate season of the series. So it is coming to a close, which makes me sad, but I kind of like it that we're going to get a full complete series, a full complete story. Next, it'll be back to its full 13 episodes. One of the complaints of season six is that they divided it into two, which wasn't all that great. And we're going to get a new character, Adam, who is Shiro's boyfriend. So it's really nice that we're going to see Shiro be in love, or hopefully be in love. And this season, with the epic battle with Zarkon behind them and their castle destroyed, the Paladins plan on making their way back to Earth. Voltron's seventh season drops August 7th on Netflix. So that's right around the corner.
That's exciting. I have not actually watched this, but I've heard really good things.
I watched the first reboot iteration, and I guess this is the second one, so I have not seen this one yet, and I'm kind of shocked that it's already on the seventh season, because it's been moving pretty fast.
Yes, it has. It's not been on for 7 years. It's only been on for like a couple of years, but they've been able to turn out season after season. It's a really good story. don't come at it with, this isn't my Voltron. Well, guess what? It's not. It's made for now. It's a new interpretation. I like it. I like how the characters interact.
You know, I kind of apply that same logic to Star Trek Discovery, is thinking this is, you got to pull yourself from the, this isn't my Star Trek thing, because it's a more modern take on sci-fi. Is there any news about Star Trek Discovery?
Why, yes, Stephen, there is. We got the first trailer of season 2. We get a look at the Enterprise and her crew, including Anson Mount as Captain Christopher Pike. I cannot believe the guy who played Black Bolt from Inhumans actually looks really good as Captain Pike in that Star Trek uniform, which is kind of reminiscent of, like, it really feels, those outfits really feel Star Trek. Rebecca Romijn is going to be number one. That's interesting because, you know, Michelle Barrett was number one and she's like the first lady of Star Trek, and it's going to be interesting seeing somebody actually be that character for more than one episode.
I was glad to see, though, they were doing that, because that would be a big miss. Like, I have given Discovery, Suncast and I have gotten into many, many arguments about Discovery. Well, not really. I just stated my opinion. He stated his. I knew that I was right and he was wrong, and then we moved on. But the reality is that we see things a little bit different, but I was not going to give them leeway if they didn't do number one. That was going to be a big problem for me, and I'm glad they're doing it, because number one is such an iconic root of Star Trek, and you've seen it in so many different ways. So many different ways, even up to Discovery last year.
Yeah, the trailer looks great. We get more of Burnham's past, her complicated family history with Sarek. Spock is supposed to appear this season. It's
supposedly
on,
been cast already, too.
Yeah, CBS All Access in the U.S. and Netflix internationally in early 2019. It looks great. It's going to, again, be one of those things where everything has to come out, and that $8 that I talked about earlier will go for a month of that so I can binge it. Because I loved the first season. I was very surprised how much I liked it. I got that for free because got one of those, hey, here, try for a month. Okay. Binging Star Trek Discovery.
Hint, many of those services will take a second email address.
Yes.
That's good to know.
This is the best the 1701 has ever looked on TV. I saw the pictures of it. I saw an excerpt from the new Star Trek Ship of the Lion calendar that's coming out that had a shot of the 1701 Enterprise on here. Looks gorgeous. They did great on it. Fact number two, probably not going to watch it because it's on All Access. That's the only show I'd care about. I'm not buying for one. And then the third one I just thought of, Suncast, you're probably on the same page as me. I was kind of excited by this one. Then they dropped the trailer for the Orville and I went, oh yeah, I'd rather have more of the Orville, which is basically TNG.
They're different. It's like, you can't, like, they're different types of sci-fi.
Orville is my Trek.
No, it's like Deep Space Nine. You can't compare Deep Space Nine and Voyager. It's different interpretations of the same world.
But you could like one more than the other.
You can, absolutely. But I don't like when people pit the two of them together, because I'll be honest, Orville is not anything fresh. Like, it's old sci-fi with new characters. There's no real fresh element about Orville. I enjoy it, though. It was my highlight.
Well done.
It was my highlight consistently last year, but I also like Discovery because I also am a big believer that the way that Star Trek was dated. And I think that there needs to be a more modern take on sci-fi. And that's why I actually like Discovery. With that said, I'm not going to argue about it because I know SP hasn't seen it. I know Chris hasn't seen it. And at this point, we're just talking hypotheticals with two people who haven't seen it when Michelle and I have and both enjoyed it.
Well, you're talking about nothing's fresh with the Orville. Of course, there's something fresh with the Orville. Adrian Palicki.
Okay, sorry. We talked about adultery in sci-fi. Okay, that was fresh. That was fresh in the Orville.
Really? I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You'll be a couple of years still. That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
It's in the premiere episode. It's not even a spoiler.
No.
It was part of the previews for the show when it came out.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree though with what you said, both of you. I think that this looks looks really good on screen, and I think there's a lot of really interesting things about this. I do really wish though that there was a way that I could get Chris to legally watch this. Keep trying to think of it.
So I'm entering into a very rare 2-week stint where I have no TV to catch up on. There's nothing being recorded. I guess nobody throws anything new out during Shark Week, because that's what it is this week. There's nothing on my DVR being recorded except for Killjoys on Friday. So I'm able to get caught up. I finally watched the Supergirl season finale. I'm going to watch the Expanse, sci-fi series finale anyway. I know it's not the series finale, but it's the sci-fi series finale here in the next couple of days. And I'm really looking forward to that. But other than that, I actually have time to go out and watch something that's not on TV. And I've got other things to watch right now versus Star Trek Discovery on a streaming channel that I have to actually pay for. So in addition to cable, so I pay for cable, I pay for Netflix and Amazon Prime. So those are my viewing sources right now. So I'm not going to do the $8 a month rotating thing.
Yeah.
At least for now, I'm just not going to get there. And it's maybe unfortunate, but hey, it's where it is. And CBS All Access, because you've done that to me, I'm not going to watch your show.
I will say I really enjoyed watching it week to week, because remember, in Canada, we got Discovery part of Space Channel. Mm. So I did really enjoy that. I'm curious about what the experience is like when you're binging it, because there was a lot of speculation that I had over the debut of each episode each week. And that's what I'm curious about when you actually watch it all together. Now, with that said, I will just tell you this, Stargate Pioneer. You should really take advantage of those 2 weeks, because if you get CBS All Access right now, then you'll also get yourself access to the Big Brother live feeds, so you can watch 24/7 what's happening in the Big Brother house. So check that out.
That would make me actually destroy my TV, so I will not be checking that out.
What else do we have in the news, Michelle?
Well, I am a huge Vikings fan. It's a History Channel show. The trailer for the mid-season premiere, the fifth mid-season premiere came out. More brother versus brother, more battles, more betrayals, more blood. The second half of season 5 will come back Wednesday, November 28th, 9 p.m. Eastern. And in better news, the 20-episode sixth season is currently in production in Ireland. So, SP, here's something. It's already in season 5 that meets your 3-year thing. It's historic. I mean, there take some liberties, but it's pretty accurate.
Yeah. In full disclosure, I have been watching Vikings from the beginning. Now, my 3-year season thing only started, what, a year and a half ago? So I actually watched Vikings from the get-go, and it's been a joy all the time.
You know, Game of Thrones without all that sex position and everything. It's a really tight story. It's written by the showrunner. I highly recommend it. And if you want even more news, IO9 has a article where they combined everything. So if you want to know more about why Andrew Lincoln is leaving The Walking Dead and all that other, you know, news about Preacher and all these other things, you can check out that article.
And we've got a short link for that. Michelle came on, did this roundup. So the URL for the IO9 is going to be found at www.geeks.link/notasgoodasmichelle. So geeks.link/notasgoodasmichelle.
We didn't even touch on the Doctor Who panel and their extravaganza. If you want to learn more about that, go to Gallifrey Public Radio, which is also on the Gonna Geek Network.
One thing that I do want to mention, though, I know you guys are going to talk about a whole bunch of things over on the Starling Tribune. I do want to go ahead and say that I saw a couple of pictures come out from the world of Legends of Tomorrow, and I just don't know. The crew just isn't getting me excited. There's more changes again, and it's just, I miss the days of feeling the love of one crew, and I'm worried.
One crew? That's the 100. You are either with one crew or you're an enemy of one crew. Choose.
Yeah, I just worry that it's going to...
Constantine is on Legends.
Actually, The 100 is one of the series that I was considering catching up on in the 2 weeks, but it's just not going to be possible with all the episodes
that they have. Oh, gosh, it's so good. What Octavia, well, Blood Reyna, did, you know, this episode, it was like, oh, my God, oh, my God.
So Constantine doesn't have me sold on Legends of Tomorrow.
Wait a minute. Steven, if you were insistent upon the one crew, we would be stuck with the Hawk people.
Season two crew was good.
Yeah, but you don't get the season two crew until you change crews from season one to season two. So it's a changing, evolving structure.
No, because I always anticipate changes after season one of any show. And then I expect them to lock it.
Now you're putting caveats on it. It's not one crew. It's the same crew after season one.
You know what? You're right. The original crew is always better. And that includes the official GunnaGeek.com show.
Sure. Yeah, I'm okay with that. I'll see you later. Good luck getting Wing and JS back.
What did you expect them to do with the crew on Firefly for season two, Steven?
You know what? Never watched Firefly. Watched two episodes.
Oh, you're fired.
Yeah.
You need to watch.
Geek card revoked.
Well, I'm not going to revoke it. I'm just saying it's good.
So, Steven, are you saying that you only like your time-hopping space cruise with a barista on board?
You know what? I could never remember what her occupation was. I just wish she told me more.
Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
But seriously, season one crew, okay, the Hawk people were annoying, but last year there was a lot of in and out that it had me worried. And then we've got it again happening. So yeah, but it's okay. Maybe they'll actually use Wally properly on The Flash this year. Oh, wait, they probably won't.
Dude, he retired.
They're bringing on Bebo instead.
Yeah, Bebo is the best part of Legends of Tomorrow. Absolutely true.
Bebo loves you.
And did you, by the way, see the SDCC Bebo appearance?
Yes, that was amazing.
It was really good. Well, thanks so much for putting this list together, Michelle. You did a wonderful job, as always, and I really appreciate that. If you, listener or viewer, want to tell us a little bit about what your favorite news was from SDCC, please get in touch with us through any of the ways. You can go ahead and tweet us at GunnaGeek. You can find us at facebook.com/GunnaGeek or send us an email to show@GunnaGeek.com or just head on over to GunnaGeek.com and leave your comments there. What was your favorite part? And also, while you're over there, make sure you do tell. Write a letter that starts with the words, "Dear Suncast, this is why Star Trek Discovery is awesome." Go ahead and leave that in the comments over there. Write a whole long letter, and we'll make sure that Suncast sees that. Actually, better yet, go to GunnaGeek, post it there, then copy and paste it over to gfqnetwork.com. You can find us over there, too.
Oh, no.
Michelle, thank you so much for coming on here today. Much, much appreciated.
I always enjoy coming on.
Why don't you take a moment to plug and promote where people can find you when you're not on this podcast?
You can find me on Twitter at Michelle Ely. I am a co-host of the Starling Tribune, and I am a consultant on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And how about Stargate Pioneer? Is there anything that you would like to plug or promote?
Yeah, I will announce that on August 17th, 2018, at 7 p.m., I will be again returning to the Sunshine Summit 2018 with Heather Welsh. I will be the lead-in to the finale, which will be Bandrew Scott. So that's Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, the Sunshine Summit Part 2.
Awesome. Chris Farrell?
I don't have anything specific to promote, just a reminder that there's a ton of awesome shows in the network. I mean, 25 plus that cover a variety of topics. So if you like this and you want some more geeky content, head on over to GunnaGeek.com, click on the network button, and I bet you'll find another show you like.
Awesome. So for episode 248 of the official GunnaGeek.com show, I'm Stephen John Drew saying thanks for coming on here, Michelle. Oh, and by the way, nobody here with Skype NDI tonight.
I'm Chris Farrell, and I'm still Skype's biatch.
I'm SP saying have a great week. We'll see you next week.
I'm Michelle Ely saying that rotating $8, that's a really good tip.
Bye.
Thanks for checking out another episode of the official GunnaGeek.com show. If you like the show, please give us a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts or a thumbs up on YouTube. You can always join us for our live recording sessions, which stream Mondays at 8:45 p.m. Eastern at www.geeks.live. And remember, you can find our full back catalog at gunnageek.com/show. If you're itching for more geeky content, check out other shows on gunnageeknetwork.com. Voice work was by Emily Prokop of the Story Behind podcast. That's it for this episode. We hope to see you back again next week.